LibertyMutual.org/greatergood. And
Liberty Mutual, providing auto, home, life, and business insurance throughout the U.S. Information available at www.libertymutual.com.
And the Wallace Foundation, supporting ideas, sharing solutions, expanding opportunities. On the web at wallacefoundation.org. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the awfully creative writing department here at Car Talk Plaza.
You know, I should have entered this contest myself. I'll tell you why in a minute. But this is the annual Bulwer Lytton contest for the worst opening line of a novel. You, of course, remember what started it all. It was a dark and stormy night.
Yes, and that was from what was it called? Either it was Clark Clifford or Clifford the Big Red Dog. I remember one of his famous works.
Well, I've got a few pages of intros to bad novels.
Or bad intros to good novels, maybe.
Or bad intros to bad novels.
We don't know.
Here we go. Sphincter the Gladiator girded his loins in preparation for today's games. Glad to be part of the season opener since he hadn't been sure until yesterday that his contract would be renewed, given his slump during the Germans versus Lions series. But he knew that swatting Germans into the Lions pit was trickier than it looked, and he told the officials that they should look at his other stats, not just Huns batted in. That's not bad, right?
I love it.
This one's from Charlie Jaworski. The double agent looked up from his lunch of mahi-mahi and couscous and realized that he must escape from Walla Walla to Bora Bora to come face-to-face with his arch-enemy by taking out his 30-30 and shooting off his nemesis's ear-to-ear grin so he could wave bye-bye to this duplicitous life. But the chances of him pulling this off were only so-so, much less than 50-50. How did they do it? How do they do it? And here's the winner. As he stared at her ample bosom, he daydreamed of the dual Stromberg carburetors in his vintage Triumph Spitfire. Highly functional, yet pleasingly formed. Perched prominently on top of the intake manifold, aching for experienced hands. The small, knurled caps of the oil dampeners begging to be inspected and adjusted as described in Chapter 7 of the Shop Manual. Dan McKay from Fargo, North Dakota, and our congrats to you, Dan. Anyway, the reason I feel some sense of regret is that this guy, Dan McKay, got heaps of praise for comparing a woman with a carburetor, and here I am toiling in obscurity. Do you remember just a few months ago, or maybe a year ago, maybe several years ago?
Yeah, maybe about 5 years ago, actually.
I compared my wife to a truck.
Oh, I remember. Oh, yes, I remember.
And so does she.
You only wish you had said that in obscurity, brother. All of her friends happen to be listening. I mean, what are the chances? How many phone calls did she get?
Oh, it was a cold winter in the garage, I'll tell you.
Anyway, if you've got a bad opening about your car, for us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Charlene calling from Cambridge, Mass.
Hi, Charlene.
Where in Cambridge, Mass?
Kirkland Street, behind Harvard Yard.
I know exactly where it is.
Harvard Yard.
Yes.
What's up, Charlene?
I'm calling because I have an 88 Volvo 240 that's leaking power steering fluid. And It's an old car, and I don't know if I can afford to fix it.
Leaking just power steering fluid.
No?
No,
that's the one that she notices now.
That's the predominant leak.
Okay.
What do you mean you can't fix it? You have to fix it.
I want to fix it myself, though.
You probably can't.
I can't patch it up with duct tape or something?
No.
Well, it depends. It depends where it's leaking. If you're lucky, can you tell where the leak is coming from?
I haven't looked too hard.
By that, you mean you haven't opened the hood?
I have opened the hood to pour in more fluid.
Oh, to add more fluid, but you haven't gone beyond that.
How often do you have to add it?
About every 20 minutes of driving.
I would put a 50-gallon drum on the roof with a hose aptly... Oh, man.
Well, there are two places where these old Volvos typically leak power steering fluid from. One is the hoses. There are two hoses that connect from the pump to the rack and pinion. Okay?
Okay.
And if you're lucky, it's one of those hoses. Even though they're expensive, they're relatively easy to you know, refit, as they say.
Yeah.
The other place, and the more likely place, is the rack and pinion itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's hundreds of dollars just for the part.
And the car isn't worth hundreds of dollars, I would imagine.
Well, it will be when you do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, your alternative is, I guess.
Well,
no, I wouldn't want to recommend it.
No.
The T?
The T. Yeah. I mean, what's your budget like here?
I'm a student, so it's not too good.
You're a Harvard student?
Yes.
Well, what do you need a car for?
That's true.
I mean, you're living right on the campus, practically.
Yeah, you just walk to class.
Good point.
This car was a family member's car?
Yes. Passed down from my 18-year-old brother.
Passed down from your 18-year-old brother who probably drove in the demolition derby on weekends.
Yes.
And so you got it, and the expectation you had with this car is that you would drive it home on significant holidays.
Right.
How about they come and visit you from now on? Where's home, by the way?
Newburyport, not too far.
Oh, no, so you can take
just far enough that you think you might make it.
Right.
Yeah, but at a quart every 20 minutes to Newburyport, let me see, that'd be about 11 and a half gallons to get you home. That might be costly and difficult.
Well, you've got to take it somewhere and let them check out and see where it's actually coming from.
Okay.
Because if it's a hose, you're talking less than $50.
Okay.
Well, not for a Volvo.
All
if it's a Volvo, you're talking less than a couple of hundred. Can you swing a couple of hundred? A
couple of hundred's possible.
All right.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, how about a couple of hundred a week?
That's what it's going to cost you for the...
Yeah. Well, you can't finance it, you know. Yeah, so, yeah, but you have to get it looked at because it is a possibility. I mean, it's very small, and I don't want to get your hopes up unnecessarily, but there is a possibility that it's a fitting that's loose.
Okay.
You know, these hoses screw on. I mean, it's not that, rest assured. But it could be.
Could be.
Okay.
And that's how we lure customers into the garage. We say, oh, it's a possibility. It's nothing. Good luck, Charlene.
Thank you.
All right. See you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chris from the Still Point of the Turning World, Scranton, PA.
Hi, Chris.
Still point, huh?
It's pretty still.
What's up, Chris?
I have a 93 Ford Taurus. It begins there. And the air conditioner, when I turn it on, it blows ice cold for about 15 minutes. And it's not a time thing. Sometimes it's 10 minutes. Sometimes it's 20.
Yeah.
And then it just blows either warm or, I swear, sometimes it's hot air.
If you stop the car, does it get better?
I don't think so. I don't think I've been that scientific. One day when the air conditioner was working, and I was very happy, I got a cell phone call, and I pulled over and stopped, and I figured, wow, the air conditioner's working. I'll just sit here, let the car run while it's working, and talk. And the air conditioner kept working, then all of a sudden the whole car just kind of made a gurgling sound, and the whole car shut down. Well, it was in the on and running position, and I had plenty of gas, and I thought, oh, that's not good.
Oh, really? And then, of course, you were able to start it right back up again?
No. I had to call my buddy and get a ride, and I came back, and just something told me that, you know, I should just let the whole dang car cool down, because I think the car itself was pretty hot.
Mm-hmm.
And when I let the whole car cool down, it started, it ran, and it's running fine now, except the air conditioner's still doing its thing.
Well, the first thing I think you want to figure out is if you have a compressor that's actually working all the time, and maybe that your compressor is just cutting out. Because either there's not enough refrigerant in the system or it's going off on some high limit. You know, if it starts to get overheated, it'll shut the compressor down.
Well, I had them check the charge, and they said there's sufficient refrigerant in there.
Oh, they did?
No, that's a bad side.
That's too bad.
Well, look at the bright side, Chris. Summer's almost over. And the car is a 93. I mean, after all, the car's 12 years old, going on 13. There's a fair chance you're not going to own this car next summer.
Probably not. My wife doesn't want me to own it this summer because whenever it gets too hot, I give it to her to drive.
You bum.
Oh, you're a sweetheart.
I drive cars into the ground. I tried to call you guys once a few years ago about a Volvo I had that had 300,000 miles on it. But
how many miles are on this one?
$135,000, but I got it from my dad, and he bought it from a guy after it had been reconstructed. It has what's called an R title in Pennsylvania, which means it's been in a wreck or reconstructed. So,
Chris,
man.
Your wife must be a saint.
No, everyone says that.
And for good reason, I'm sure.
And you haven't brought it to an air conditioner place, huh?
No, they'll $700 me to death.
Well, exactly. I'm guessing you need a compressor. That's the $700 to death.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it now, though.
No, it's time for a new $700 car.
You know what you could do? I wanted to add air conditioning to my Colt Vista.
You're as bad as me.
Now get this. You're going to love this.
So there really was no easy way to put in a compressor and an evaporator and a condenser because it's a pretty small car, you know. So instead of going through all that aggravation for the two or three really hot days that I thought I would need it, I went to J.C. Whitney Company, and I bought myself a dashboard-mounted electric fan, which I – you still there, Chris?
I'm still listening.
Which I – and I took the liberty of drilling some holes into the right through
right there
the plastic
dashboard.
Of the dash, right into the metal – and drove four sheet metal screws in, and this thing, you ready for this? Plugs into the cigarette lighter, has two speeds, and it oscillates.
Oh.
It's pretty darn good.
Yeah. I can say that I was in the car with him just the other day, and he turned on the AC. There were seven people in the Colt Vista, and none of us could feel the fan except him.
Alternatively, you could buy one of these things that transforms DC to AC, and then you can put a regular air conditioner right in the window of the, you know, like the right rear window. Put a room air conditioner in there. They make them pretty small now.
I was actually thinking of that.
I knew you were.
I thought that I'd have an electrical system problem along with an air conditioner problem.
No, I obviously you have to do nothing now and hope that the car just dies between now and next summer. And
what? Then I'm hoping I get hit by someone who's rich.
There you go. Good luck, man. Nice to talk to you, Chris.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See, he didn't really want to fix his AC. He just wanted us to reassure him that he didn't have to.
No. He's my kind of guy.
Well, I knew it. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Majika calling from Chicago.
Majika?
Majika.
As in magic?
Yes, with an A at the end.
No kidding.
Really?
What kind of a name is that?
Hippie parents.
Hippie parents?
Hippie parents' name.
No kidding. And where'd you say you were from?
Chicago.
Chicago. What do you have parents doing in Chicago if they're hippies?
Well, they were all over at the time, but...
Where were you born?
Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And where did they start out?
Chicago.
They started off in Chicago. They had a Volkswagen bus. They didn't make it too far. they made it to Schaumburg.
Do you have a Volkswagen bus?
I do not have a Volkswagen bus. I have a 94 Geo Prism.
Ah.
So what's up, Magica?
Well, my problem is twofold. One is that with the passenger side airbag in that chamber there, it's a razor blade.
The razor blade got stuck in there?
Yeah, my husband was trying to scrape off the Old City sticker, and he set it there while he was doing something else, and it slid inside.
Oh.
Jeez, wouldn't that be an awful thing? That you have an accident, the thing deploys, it saves your life, but the razor blade comes and severs your jugular vein.
Well, see, that's what I think will happen, but my husband thinks it's not a big deal.
I think you should drive. Is it just the two of you in this car?
No, my daughter sits in the back behind the driver's side.
Oh. Well, she's probably all right, but you never know. I mean, don't forget that bag, those first-generation airbags go off at like 200 miles an hour. I mean, that passenger side airbag.
It comes flying out of there.
So if that blade is in such a spot that it is getting propelled by that thing, it could fly around that. It could lacerate three jugular veins.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I mean, the good news is that those blades, even though they're stainless steel, the backing of those single-edged blades is regular steel that can be attracted by a magnet.
Oh.
So you could try to fish the blade out of there with a magnet, and you can get a skinny magnet and maybe extricate the thing.
Okay.
Because it you might be able to get something that'll fit right in the hole that the blade fell through.
Exactly.
Right. And then just fish it right out of there. Yeah, he hasn't done that yet?
No.
No, because he doesn't think it's serious.
He doesn't think it's a big deal.
It is.
Oh, you know what else could work? Compressed air. You may be able to blow.
I don't like it.
I do. Have him do it.
No, I mean, you might blow the blade around and slice the airbag.
Well, I would try the magnet first, obviously.
I mean, it's further in than we can see. We can't see it anymore.
Yeah, but the magnet would pull. A skinny magnet might be able to pull that thing. It may have already damaged the bag. You don't know. But if it did, it did. I mean, the safest thing to do, obviously, would be to go to the, you know, to the dealer and have them put a new airbag in, which they can do.
So I can tell him he's not allowed to put my daughter in the car anymore.
No, I don't think anyone should be in the car except for him. Yeah, no, you got to get it fixed.
No, he's got to. Is he usually devil may care like this?
Yeah.
Give us. What else has he done that's infuriated you?
Oh gosh, I think that's a topic for a different helpline.
The list is too strong, too long, eh?
You said there were two things. Is that was number one?
Well, number two was that he doesn't think it's a problem.
Oh.
Well, we think it's a problem.
Well, is it going to help if we tell him it's a problem?
Well, I hope that hearing this will help.
Well, either that or, like has happened to many of our listeners, it will change his opinion of us. So
I knew there were morons, and I still think so.
Yeah, I didn't know there were morons until right now. Well, good luck.
Thank you very much.
To the dealer. Get their advice. I mean, maybe they can fish the razor blade out, but whatever you do, get it to them and get it fixed.
Get it fixed.
All right. See you, Magica.
Thank you.
Magica.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, look, it's time for us to take a short pause and, you know, gather our thoughts.
What do you mean, gather our thoughts? Speak for yourself.
Oh, right. For you, it would be gather your thought. That's better. So what is this thought you're gathering anyway?
Well, you'll like this. It's a defense of the Puzzler work schedule.
Really? I do like it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have that and more of your car questions in just a minute, so don't go out of hearing range.
Called like a deer in my own. Headlights frozen on this road tonight. I had a fix on the brightest star. Now I'm not sure where you are. North is south and east is west.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our new line of Mechanics mobile phones, now with irate customer blocking from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Travelocity, providing more than 43,000 customer reviews on hotels worldwide, online at Travelocity.com, and
T. Rowe Price, managing investments for the long term with a consistent, disciplined approach. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence, online at TRoePrice.com. And
the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting efforts to find and fight the causes of homelessness, on the web at melvilletrust.org.
And even though hog farmers turn to each other and say, imagine working around that all day, whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
As tens of thousands of survivors of Hurricane Katrina try to make a home for themselves around the country, we'll bring you the latest on relief and recovery efforts, plans for rebuilding the Gulf Coast, and the struggles that lie ahead. Also, remembering 9/11, Sunday on All Things Considered from NPR News.
You can hear All Things Considered this afternoon at 4 o'clock on KUAF. Regional Relief is a community of local citizens, business, artists, musicians, performers, and working people coming together to support hurricane evacuees from our neighboring states. Regional Relief present a benefit event Monday, September 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Teatro Scarpino on West Street in Fayetteville. The event will include live music from Still on the Hill, Early Morning Bourbon Girls, Argentine Tango, and West African Drum and Dance, as well as live and silent auction. All proceeds go to American Red Cross, 200-0642, or online at blockstreetandbuilding.com for more information. It's 19 minutes after 9 o'clock. More Car Talk is next.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and standing up for the honor of our puzzler.
This is a little note we got from a guy named Aaron Murray. Dear Click and Clack, this weekend I was listening to your discourse on my car radio, during which you read a letter from some crack complaining about the work habits of the puzzler. After listening to his argument, I was initially convinced the puzzler is a no-good, lazy roustabout.
That's what everyone else thinks.
But then I started thinking. According to the estimates given, the puzzler works for about 3 hours and then gets 2 months off. While this complaint seems reasonable, in reality, there is some deeply insidious logic going on. While the puzzler does indeed work for only about 3 hours before it goes on vacation, that vacation is really only a 32-minute break.
There you go!
Since the puzzler works only 4 minutes a show and misses 8 shows, there's no basis for making the misleading claim that the puzzler takes a 2-month vacation. Are you with me here?
Well, am I with you? Are you kidding me?
Shoot.
This is like mixing metaphors, man. It's you know what it is? It's mixing units.
That's right. While checking the labor laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, I find that the puzzler's break, while somewhat generous, is not significantly above the mandated minimum for any worker. In conclusion, I feel that the puzzler has been grossly maligned and perhaps has suffered permanent psychological damage and at the very least deserves an apology. Thank you, Aaron Murray. Wow.
Wow.
Well, he is right about that, you know?
I want another month off. Well, if the truth be known, the puzzler will be back in a matter of days. But if you can't wait that long, stay tuned because we'll give you explicit instructions on where to find a Tide Me Over puzzler. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. That number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255, which also happens to spell 888-CASUAL-5. Yes, I like that much
I like
better.
That, too.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi, this is Ron from Salt Lake City.
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great. What's going on? How can we help you?
Well, I've got a 2001 Ford Ranger pickup truck.
Yep.
It's got about 50,000 miles on it, four-wheel drive. And when I start it up in the morning, it sounds like there's a bunch of baby birds underneath the hood. There's like some chirping noises.
For how long?
A couple of minutes. And then it kind of fades away. But it does it every morning.
Well, have you ever jumped out and lifted up the hood so you can tell where it's coming from?
And if you did that, would you have noticed birds flying away?
No, I have done that, but there were no birds. But it's coming from, like, the right side of the engine somewhere, and it's just this little, you know, peeping, chirping-type noises, and,
yeah.
And I have no clue.
Well, it's probably, you said this was an 01?
Yeah.
And you got about 65,000 miles on it?
50, pay attention, will you?
I had written that down, in fact. I was just trying to see if Ron had his facts straight.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's birds because, you know, I park it in the garage and, you know, so.
It's rarely birds.
But on occasion it has been birds. That's why we can't just dismiss it out of hand. But I think that in this case it's a belt.
A belt.
Yeah, chirping is almost always related to a belt.
Okay.
Now, it could be that there's a bearing going bad. For example, chirping can come from a water pump whose bearings are beginning to go bad.
Air conditioning compressor.
Or an alternator, and those are two famous sources of chirping. Or
okay.
A bird. The alternator noise and the water pump noise could go away when the thing warmed up a little bit.
Yeah.
But so, too, would it go away if it was a dried and cracked belt.
Okay.
And your Ranger, I believe, has one big fat belt that runs everything.
One gigantic belt.
Right, yep. And it's called a serpentine belt. And because it's flat, you can't add any of those chemicals. Back in the old days, we used to drizzle something called Belties onto the belts, and it would soften up the rubber, but you can't do that with these belts.
Yeah, okay.
And you've probably never replaced that serpentine belt, have you?
You know what? It was replaced about a year ago when my alternator went out.
Oh, here's what you do.
Oh, now I'm thinking it. I think the alternator they put in is no good.
Here's what I would do.
I'd rather have birds.
I would too.
Yeah. Go down to your local parts store and buy about a foot of hose.
Just like garden hose?
No, no. You know, you want something called vacuum hose.
Oh, okay, vacuum hose.
Yeah. You know, it's probably got an inside diameter of a quarter of an inch.
Yeah.
And an outside diameter of, you know, a half an inch or
and
3/8.
And you're going to use this piece of hose as a stethoscope.
Okay.
So open the hood first and get someone to start the truck.
Okay.
And then you stick one end of the hose in your ear. And you carefully, without getting your fingers chopped off by anything, like a fan or belts, put it next to the alternator, listen, put it next to the air conditioner compressor, put it near the water pump. That's where you're going to chop your fingers off.
And you'll, and you'll conclude, Ron, when you've done this, that all four things need to be replaced.
Yeah.
So then you can go back to
those
the auto
three
parts store.
Plus the belt.
Right. You buy a belt, a water pump, an alternator. But I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if it's the belt, especially if they put the wrong belt on there.
Yeah.
Because the belt is tensioned by a spring-loaded tensioner. And if the belt that's on there was a little bit too long, it would work until it started to wear out, and then it would start to chirp.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I think it is.
All right,
yeah,
I'll
but
try
I
it
wouldn't worry about it if I were
not
you.
To worry. I'm relieved that it's not birds.
Okay, yeah. I thought I was going to have to buy a cat or something.
No, no.
Anyway, I'll get rid of it.
I'm pretty confident that it's the belt.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
See you, Ron.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Erin calling from Alexandria, Virginia.
Hi, Erin. How are you?
Hi, Erin.
Good. How are you guys doing?
Not bad. What's going on?
Well, I'm in a bit of a pickle. I'm used to driving my 96 Volkswagen Jetta, which is a stick shift.
Mm-hmm.
But for the last 2 weeks, I've borrowed my boyfriend's 96 Honda Civic. And I think that the way I'm used to driving my Jetta is kind of giving me a little guilt complex because I'm kind of wondering if there's any way that I possibly caused my boyfriend's car to overheat because of the way that I drive.
And how do you drive?
Well, the Jetta takes a little bit of physical effort to shift into reverse and into all the different gears. And the Honda is kind of buttery. You know, it's really easy to shift into gears. And it kind of tells me, it has a little light that tells you when you're supposed to shift up. And it kind of tells me that I have to shift up before I really feel like I'm ready to. So I'm not sure if I'm running it kind of rough or not.
Oh,
and
so
you think that may have caused it to overheat?
Well, the day that it overheated, I was running errands all over D.C. and I was driving all over the city. And I don't think that I was really too rough on the car, but my boyfriend
sounds
thinks
like
I
a
might
sissy.
Be.
This guy sounds like a sissy.
Yeah, he's just trying to blame you. What have you got to do with it? Was it a hot day?
It was a kind of a hot day, but it was at night, so it wasn't that bad.
Oh, it was at night.
And did you have the AC on?
Yes, and I was sitting and idling when it actually did overheat. It was running hot earlier in the day, and I kind of drove it around, and it cooled down, and I was like, okay, I guess it wasn't anything. And then later, I was waiting with some people for some, and the car was idling for about 20 minutes, and I get back in to leave, and the steam came out of the engine.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go back to the way you shift. You said to us, I think, when the light comes on saying that you should be upshifting, you don't upshift because you feel that it's too early to upshift.
I do obey the light.
You do obey the light, but you feel that you should rev it higher like you would do in your Jetta.
It doesn't seem to have as much pickup.
Well, you're right. And certainly doing what you would do in your Jetta or obeying what the light is telling you to do are both okay for this car. So that's not the reason it overheated.
No, you did not do it by driving the way you drive.
Really?
Yeah. What did that is some shortcoming of the cooling system. Either the thing is low on coolant or perhaps
the radiator's a little plugged up.
Radiator could be plugged up or it could be there's a fan that's supposed to run all the time when the AC is on. But there's I'm not sure this car has a two-speed fan that's supposed to go faster when the thing gets hotter. So it may be that the cooling fan isn't working.
There are some tricky problems with the air conditioning in the car anyways. You can't actually change the settings or you won't have air conditioning anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
You didn't do any of this.
Okay.
No, you are absolutely innocent of all of these.
Did he want you to pay?
No, not at all, no. He's just kind of looking at me a little skeptically like, okay, my car doesn't run the same as it used to. You've had it for 2 weeks. It's idling roughly and...
Well, I mean, this is true of everybody. We all have our own ways of driving. And if someone else drives your car, they always drive it differently than you do.
Well, and the thing that that's most different when you get the car back and the reason it feels different is the seat's in a different position. You know, and they've my sons, especially my younger son, would take my car to go and do a simple errand. Like I'd say, hey, Drew, Could you, if you're going to go out, could you go to the store and pick up like a loaf of bread and a quart of milk? And he returned with the car maybe 20 or 25 minutes later, having changed every single radio preset to stations that he likes because he's constantly flipping through the stations.
Yeah.
So I get back in the car, you know, the next day, and I can't find any of my stations. But other than someone changing the stations and putting the seat in a different position, there should be nothing you did unless you were beating the car to death. But I'm concerned that he would even think to suggest that there was something you did.
It might just be my guilty conscience.
Yeah. Well, make sure. Be sure. How is this relationship been moving? In which direction?
Oh, it's great. It's great. It's fantastic.
It is?
All right. Well, we just want to make sure,
I hope everything works out. I got my doubts.
Because this could be an early warning sign, you know. I think just to find out where things are, you ought to put a dent in the car.
Oh!
You got to know.
And if he forgives me, we're golden.
You got to know.
Yeah.
All right, I'll see what happens.
You know, there's a famous Latin expression called in vino veritas, which means in wine there's truth.
Yeah.
You know, I'm considering in dentis veritas. You will find out a lot about your boyfriend when you put a dent in the car. And a lot about your relationship. I would go for it. Don't wait.
Okay.
See you, Aaron.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is John from Centennial, Colorado.
Hi, John.
Centennial.
Oh, that's the place about which the book was written. Centennial, yeah.
Anyway, I have a 1991 Cherokee with 250,000 miles on it, or as I like to say, one lunar unit, because it's about the distance to the moon.
One LU. That's what my brother is. One lunar unit.
No, loony.
Oh, loony unit.
Yeah, and what's wrong with it?
Well, my problem is with the rear brakes. They're causing a heavy pulsation when I come to a stop.
The rear brakes are?
Yes.
And how do you know that?
Well, because the way I can feel it in the car, and besides, you'll understand why as I go on.
Go ahead.
The parking brake will only work if it's facing downhill, the car, that is.
Okay, that's not unusual, but go ahead.
And it'll make noise when they're wet, and the brakes will also over-adjust themselves to the point where they'll actually burn up.
Wow, sounds like a wonderful vehicle. And, well, I suppose you're assuming that we will conclude it's the rears because if the brakes are over-adjusted and burning up, they're overheating and warping the drums.
Yeah, I've taken the drums in before to have them machined, and, you know, the guy at the Pet Boys is always like, you know, oh, it can't be the rear brakes. It's always the front brakes that cause the pulsation. But then when they actually get on the lathe, they're like, you were driving on these? What were you thinking?
And how many times have you had them machined?
Well, I've gone through 3 brake drums, and they've all been machined twice.
Okay, so in addition to replacing the drums, you've replaced the shoes, I imagine.
Yes, I've replaced everything.
How about the, you can't get this easily, but there is a spring that's underneath the, if I'm not mistaken, these kinds of brakes have a lever that pushes on the self-adjusting wheel. And if that spring is weak, these things will over-adjust themselves.
Yes, I have replaced that spring.
You have. Jeez, all right. Going to be a difficult case here. We may have to get tough with them. Now, how about the emergency brake cables?
Yeah.
How do you know that they're free?
I've replaced those, too.
Good for you, man. That's good. You're making it tough for us.
My next step is the master cylinder itself, so I'm hoping to avoid that if possible.
Well, it could be that it's usually the case that when some part of the system fails, it's because the master cylinder or the power booster has failed, but usually it's the front brace that's affected.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's possible that these springs are not the culprit at all, but in fact, you're getting hydraulic pressure back there when you shouldn't be. You know, there's a flexible hose that connects to the rear axle assembly.
Mm-hmm.
If that rubber hose is not allowing the fluid to pass through easily, when you step on the brake, you energize the brakes, and then when you take your foot off, the brakes stay on because it's just like somebody put what do they call that thing that doctors use, a hemostat. Right?
How about just a clamp?
It's like a clamp. It's just like somebody put a clamp on that hose and prevented the fluid from returning to the master cylinder.
So the fluid can't get back to the master cylinder, and it keeps pressure on that wheel cylinder.
And it's just like you kept your foot on the brake.
Huh.
So here's how you're going to find it out. You're going to pump the pedal 100 times with the rear wheels off the ground and get it to the point where the wheels are now difficult to turn. And if you open the line that connects right to the wheel and all of a sudden the wheel frees up, then it's probably that hose.
Well, I'll definitely try that.
And you got to fix this, man, because you're going to overheat the thing and you're going to flip it over.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, it ain't cool.
Yeah.
Trust us on that.
Yeah. But I'm willing to bet it's that flex line. It's that flex hose that connects to the rear axle assembly. And when you take it out, try blowing through it. You won't be able to.
Ugh.
Well, have your little brother do it. That's what my brother used to do. Yeah, blow through this thing. What is that? It's only brake fluid. It's harmless. See you, John.
Thanks, bye.
You were a dumb little kid.
I was.
Our trusting. Our trusting.
I was a trusting
little brother. There was no reason for you to be so trusting.
Well, I mean, you were my older brother. I looked up to you, and I had faith in you, and, yeah. and I knew.
And
in
I was
my
counting
heart
on that.
That you would never, ever do anything to hurt me. Because
no.
If you did, Dad would have killed you. Look, we've reached another break point in the show.
Yeah, as opposed to our listeners who reached their breaking points about half an hour ago.
That's right. We're going to go away, but we'll be right back to take more of your calls.
And we'll have a serious warning about the nation's healthcare system.
That's coming right up, so stay tuned.
Well, I spent my whole life since I was high as a knee by that two-lane blacktop they call Route 23. My daddy ran a service station and the pumps let it shine. I'd watch him wash the windshields, keep the oil up to that line. Well, the days they were long, but the money was good. The only thing that changed were the seasons and the shades of the hoods. Till the governor came on the radio in late 55. Said the state's gonna build a new highway, one that's fast, smooth and wide. But that new highway, no one stops here anymore. And you can't make a living without swinging that door. The sign by the roadside says, come on in, but the bulbs are long since burned out, not to light up again.
Support for the Car Talk website comes from Corsus, the official home of Car Talk on the web. Corsus software development and web hosting at www.corsis.com.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our new seminar, Improving Your Gas Mileage Through Guided Meditation, from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Light Life, 26 years of all-natural meat-free food like Smart Barbecue, Smart Chili, and Smart Tex-Mex in produce and dairy sections nationwide. And
LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four real loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. And
Steinway & Sons, making pianos by hand since 1853.
And even though termites suddenly lose their taste for the NPR building whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
As if the hurricane and the flooding and all the other biblical plagues weren't bad enough, the residents of New Orleans had to deal with celebrities. Look, there's Sean Penn in a flatboat. And over there, Oprah Winfrey, getting increasingly frustrated as the waters fail to part at her command. I'm Peter Sagal. We will be troubling those unfortunate people from a respectful distance on this week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the news quiz from NPR.
You can hear Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me tomorrow at noon on KUAF.
This week on Sunday Ozarks at Large, 2 years ago, Mike Tidwell's book, Bayou Farewell, warned of the vulnerability of a disappearing coastline on the Gulf.
So much of it has already disappeared, and if we're going to literally save New Orleans, then we need to start working on restoration efforts immediately.
We talked with Mike Tidwell then, and we'll talk with him again this Sunday on Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9 on KUAF.
You're You're listening to Car Talk on Public Radio KUAF. It's supported by the employees of Zero Mountain Incorporated, with locations in Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Lowell, and Russellville, providing the food industry with refrigerated storage, distribution, and logistics services. Zero Mountain, supporting the arts in our communities. 21 minutes before 10.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and a medical crisis.
Yeah. Here we are. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
A little note from one of our listeners, whose name is Nigel Campbell. Dear Click and Clack, I was intrigued by a comment that you made a few weeks ago on your show, when after pausing from badgering a caller, you observed that, quote, "we sound like doctors." I took particular interest in this because you two aren't the first to notice that little fact. I'm a medical student at the University of Washington School of Medicine, and a couple of months ago, the outstanding head of our clinical medicine courses, Dr. Erica Goldstein, surprised us by using a tape of you two as an example of how to diagnose medical problems.
Is that the one where I was trying to stuff the rag down your throat?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
During that time, our class got to learn how to talk with a patient about their illness by hearing you two guys spending equal amounts of time asking searching questions and laughing at your own jokes. Anyway, I feel that in the name of public safety, your listeners should know the next time they go under the knife that their doctor may have been trained by you two clowns. I love your show. Keep up the good work. All the best, Nigel Campbell. That would scare you, wouldn't it?
Jeez. Listen, yeah. How long have we been in the air? Since like 1977?
I guess.
So you'd have to find a doctor who completed his or her training before 77.
Yeah.
If you didn't want one train. So let's say they complete their training at age 30. When they're 87, 97. So you can never go to a doctor younger than 58. Then you'll be safe. But I had a revelation about doctors the other day.
Did you?
It was just...
Tell me.
It was a fleeting revelation.
Yeah. Is this like double dog daylight saving time?
Oh, no.
Not as
profound.
No.
I think most people go to medical school way too long. I think they ought to have like a junior college medical school. 2 years. Maybe just 2 years of nights. You know?
You know, 2 years of night school.
Yeah, and the only thing you can't do...
And you can do it on your work.
And you can do anything the other doctors can do, except you don't give a warranty. Right? And the only thing maybe you'll be prevented from doing is brain surgery, because that requires a certain level of expertise. But you know what? There are plenty of people who are capable of doing this stuff and are just deterred from becoming surgeons.
It's going to take them 10 years.
Because of all of the effort involved. But think how many more doctors we could have if we let rank amateurs do it. And so you know, and you can choose.
Don't forget.
So when you go to the doctor, his diploma's up there. 6 months of medical school. Say, I don't think so. And in the same office, well, I think it should be something 18 months.
Yeah.
Night school. And then you can find Johns Hopkins. Or you might choose, if there was something seriously wrong with you, to go to the Johns Hopkins guys. But on the other hand,
Something simple.
If you had, like, you know, a mole you wanted removed.
Yeah.
You might go to the guy with 6 months. Oh, yeah, I've been doing this since I was a kid. I can. I like the Jiffy Lube Medical Center. And so we have all levels of expertise under one roof. And of course, it's priced accordingly. So you could have that.
Well, they sort of have that now. You got witch doctors.
No, but these would be real doctors. These would be
How real is real?
They'd be rankings.
Yeah.
Like five-star generals. You get a five-star doctor or a one-star.
No stars. You could have
no stars.
A cadet doctor.
Cadet, exactly. I'm telling you.
Yeah, this is another one of your great ideas.
This is a great idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen. If you'd like, by the way, as we always do when the puzzler is away, we're posting just for your edification an archival puzzler on the website for you this week. That's at cartalk.com. But if you have a question for us, or you're more interested in my medical school theories.
Yeah, they want to talk about that, sure.
Yeah, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. I'm telling you, it's a great idea. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jared in New York.
Jared?
Yeah.
Hi, Jared. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you today?
Great. What's going on? New York City?
Yeah, New York City.
All right.
Lower East Side.
Cool.
Lower East Side.
What's happening, man?
The problem is my AC and my 93 Mercury Sable.
Yeah.
I turn on my AC, and the air blows out of the defroster vents. And now once in a while, it'll switch back to the AC vents, but generally, it's blown out of the defroster vents. Then, for
and
example,
nothing is coming out of the other vents?
Just barely.
Okay.
So what's coming out is cold air. It's just coming out of the wrong place.
Exactly. And by the time it gets to the car, it's warmed up because the windshield is so hot.
Yeah, right.
And but every once in a while, when I'm driving up a hill, for example, and I get to the top of the hill, I take my foot off the accelerator.
It works.
And it starts to work.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it's an electrical problem or if it's like a vacuum problem. Or
It's a vacuum problem. It's a vacuum problem.
Yeah. The way the air gets diverted to various places, whether it's coming out the top to go through the windshield or coming out the front to go to the air conditioner, all happens with doors.
Okay.
And the doors are controlled by vacuum. Okay.
And the vacuum comes from the engine. And,
okay.
And when you take your foot off the gas, for example, climbing a hill, you are getting the highest engine vacuum at that point.
All right.
And so if
that makes things work. Because you need vacuum to open the doors.
Right. So it may be if you have a small vacuum leak, you're losing enough vacuum so that you can't shut the defroster door and divert that air to the air conditioner vents. But you can have it work only when you've been climbing a hill and you suddenly take your foot off the gas and then everything gets restored because you are, in a sense, overriding this vacuum leak that you have.
I see.
Right?
So you think this problem will be under the hood or
yes.
under the dashboard?
Yes. It could be either, and it's hard to find. And fortunately, the vacuum leaks
make noise,
or they're easy to find because you'll hear the hiss.
Oh, I did hear some kind of a hiss.
Ah.
I thought it was just because of all the dents in the side of the car.
Where did you hear the hisses?
It seems to be sort of like on my left side. I mean, as I'm in the driver's seat, it seems to be in front of me on my left side.
But it's under the dash, you think?
Yeah, it seems like under the dash, in that general vicinity.
Well, what you need
the best thing to do is take it to a mechanic.
No, this is fun, man. Stick your head up under that dashboard.
Okay.
And you will hear. In fact, if you have a soda straw even, something as simple as that.
Okay.
You can stick one end in your ear and you can find the source of the vacuum leak. And I bet you if you fix it, all your problems will be solved.
I'm going to get a little vacuum cleaner and go in there and see.
There you go. You'll be amazed at what you find.
Well, I think you solved the problem, so I'm gonna work on this. And
well, we'll be eager to hear from you.
Yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
And thanks for picking up.
All right, Jerry.
All right, take care.
Nice to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Right,
yeah, he ought to have this fixed by November, December.
I think so. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is Yvette. I'm calling from El Paso, Texas.
Yvette?
Yvette.
Yes. Spell the proper way, Y-V-E-T-T-E?
Yes.
Wonderful.
From El Paso.
El Paso.
So what's up?
My husband and I just bought a brand new Mazda 3, and he says that I cannot drive it over 60 miles an hour until we hit 1,000 miles. And I think that is so not true. I think that's an old wives' tale, isn't it?
Well,
he
may well have done an unthinkable thing.
What?
He may have read the owner's manual.
Oh, no.
And it may, in fact, say just that.
Yeah. And it's not common for anyone to have done this. But this may be the first new car he's ever bought. Is it?
Yes.
He read it.
In fact, not only did he read it, he'll be able to tell you what page he read it on.
Yeah. And it's very likely that he's correct.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to wait 1,000 miles?
Well, how many miles have you driven it so far?
We bought it with 20, and it has like 57 miles. I don't want to drive it. I'm scared.
Well,
oh.
I'm paranoid about going over 60. I'm afraid the engine's going to fall out or
something. Well, it isn't going to fall out, but the reason they want you, and it's very likely that this is in the owner's manual, although he may have learned it from some nutcases that he heard on the radio. Oh, that could be us.
Yeah.
In fact, most manufacturers and we used to recommend for the first 1,000 miles that not only do you keep it below 60, that you avoid driving it for...
At the same speed.
At the same speed or at sustained high speed for more than a few hours at a time. So the last thing you want to do, for example, is in the very heat of the day, like you get in El Paso on every day, you would want to avoid getting in and driving across the breadth of Texas, even if you were going at 59 miles an hour. Because so, would have detrimental effects and shorten the life of the engine, ultimately.
Why is this of such difficulty for you?
Because I don't want to drive under 60. I have to take the highway to work every day.
And everyone drives at 80, right? And
yes. So I'm the old lady on the slow lane. Everybody's passing and honking at me.
Oh, and the problem is you're not old enough to be driving like an old lady.
That's right.
And here's what you do.
Let
you
him
buy a blue wig.
And you just leave it in the car. You put it on when you get in the car, and you'll feel
you
right at home.
Get a blue wig and a hat. Right?
I have to wait.
Now,
really?
The truth be known, most car engines are pretty broken in at the factory, you know, and they really don't require any kind of serious break-in like cars of yesteryear did. And Mazda is certainly one of those that is, you know, ready to wear, so to speak. So you could just get in it and drive it. But we would advise you not to drive it over 60 or not to drive it more than a couple of hours at a time without letting it cool off, especially in real hot weather. Because your husband wants to keep it forever, right?
Have you confronted your husband with this issue?
Yes. I told him, no way, 1,000 miles. That was way too much.
Oh, you didn't ask him anything. You told him.
He told me you cannot drive over 60 miles an hour.
And what did he cite as his source? Wasn't us, I hope.
I don't know. It's just common knowledge. Yeah. Everybody should know this.
Well, you have the car, right?
Oh, so he didn't say to you it's in the book?
No.
Well, check the book. He may be wrong.
You know, hide the book. if I would say this. If he can show you in the book where it says it,
okay,
then you're going to have to go for it.
Okay.
If, on the other hand, the book doesn't say anything about it, then I think you're perfectly entitled to tell him to drop dead. See you later.
Thank you so much.
Don't drive like my brother. Remember that.
I won't.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Jeff from Seattle.
Hey, Jeff.
Jeff
from
with
Seattle.
A J or a G?
With a G.
Oh, I had a G. Oh. I had a J.
Well, listen, I'm a real estate agent, and I need a car for my real estate business.
Yeah.
I've found that some of the best agents, which is to say the ones that get the most business, will specialize in a neighborhood, and they drive a distinctive car around that neighborhood. So whenever anybody sees it, one agent has a PT Cruiser, and every time you see that PT Cruiser cruising the neighborhood, there goes Barbara. She even has PT Cruiser refrigerator magnets she gives to people.
Oh. So you want something that's going to set you apart from all the other real estate agents in your area.
Exactly. It should seat 4.
Uh-huh.
It should get halfway decent gas mileage. And because even though it doesn't get hot all that often here in Seattle, it really ought to have air conditioning.
Oh, yeah. Nothing is worse than showing a client a house when he's got a bad case of butt sweat. Because the last thing you want is for someone to walk into a house with a wet rear end. You know, so even if there's a chance it could happen, it's better they go in shivering with goosebumps than have butt sweat.
Yeah.
So I agree. The air conditioning is a must. You want them to be comfortable.
Right.
Yeah. And at the same time, you don't want them to think that you're making so much money. I mean, that's always an issue. I mean, I was once shown a house by a real estate agent that was driving, you know, an $80,000 Mercedes.
Yeah, sure.
And she mentioned that, she said, all the commissions I make have paid for this Mercedes many times over. I was a little put off by that.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, and I immediately went and applied for a real estate agent's license. I mean, if she's doing it, I can do it. You know, but
well, what kind of car did you have in mind?
Well, you know, the first car that came to mind was one I used to own, which is a 51 Studebaker.
Bad choice. No AC.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, well, what would be a newer, older car that would have AC?
Well, are you going to drive this car mostly around the real estate area, or are you going to drive it on the highway as well?
I might drive it on the highway to work once in a while.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
Well, you're a perfect case for a hybrid.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, the most successful real estate agent that I know of in my area drives a Prius.
Really?
And the Prius is quite distinctive, and it's perfect for driving up and down streets. You can park easily. It's not that big, but it will fit 4 people comfortably.
Hardly pretentious.
Hardly pretentious.
I like the idea of the Prius, but frankly, I think it looks like a jelly bean.
Yeah, well, if that's what you think, then it's out.
So do you have a plan B?
Well, I mean, are you thinking of an older car that you would...
Yeah, he wants a classic car.
Yeah.
Oh.
If possible.
Ah, let's see. But it can't be too big.
I've got it.
What?
I've got it.
Yeah?
A Checker.
A Checker cab.
Ooh, now that
would be
good.
Interesting.
I'm liking that.
Wouldn't it? A yellow Checker cab.
Yes.
And the way to find one is online.
They must find everything, right?
They must be scattered all over the country.
Oh, yeah. It's scattered is the proper word. It's mostly
you may
lying
not
on this side.
The same one in the same part of the country.
But that's the car.
That is the car.
Of course, they only get 5 miles to the gallon, but that's not an issue.
What the hell?
You're going to be making so much in commissions.
Yeah.
Jeff, this is it. A Checker. I love it.
I like it.
I wish you the best.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Good luck, man.
All right. Thanks.
See you later.
Thanks, man.
Bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David Rainman Green. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our senior web lackey is Doug Sheepboy Mayer. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Bunker Hill, Fresh Dill, Roadkill, Mixed Grill, Lemon Chill, Diet Pill, and Metamucil, Eat Your Fill, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our studio repair technician is Sloan Cranky. Our loss prevention associate is Natasha DeMerchandise. Our ethics director is Maura Lee Flexible. Our staff urologist is Pete Chadil. Our repo agent is Carmine Now. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our employee morale boost is our Phil LeCrap and his brother Luke LeCrap. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn, and the head of our Working Mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Louis Dewey, known to the matriculating pigeons in Harvard Square as Huey Louis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and above all, don't drive like Tommy.
And don't drive like Ramey.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, on the web at kauffman.org. And
the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org.
And the Music Performance Fund, striving to enrich lives by sponsoring thousands of free concerts in the United States. Schedules at musicpf.org. Tapes of this show, which is number 537, along with clothing, CDs, and other Car Talk junk, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com, where you can also find out how to donate your used car in support of your local public radio station.
You can donate any used car?
Well, any serviceable used car, i.e., none of yours.
Check out the Car Talk vehicle donation program at our website, cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Leanne Hansen throws her Bose radio on her barbecue whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
You've been listening to Car Talk on Public Radio KUAF 91.3 FM. Our programming is supported by our contributing listeners and by All My Treasures, a flea market and antique mall on Highway 16 East in Fayetteville, offering memorabilia, antiques, furniture, and more, serving interior designers, collectors, decorators, and dealers for 15 years. Open Tuesday through Sunday. More information available at 575-0250. The 23rd Annual WinFest will be held Sunday, September 18th at Winslow Ballpark. Acts this year include the Cape Brothers, Cherry Brooks, Strange Heroes, String Theory, and more. Gates open at noon, rain or shine. Coolers, lawn chairs, and carpooling encouraged. No glass. All proceeds go to community development, 634-2751. For ticket outlets and more information on this day-long event, it's 10 o'clock. What Do You Know's next.